way is not within himself, nor is it within man to direct his path or his steps or whatever. And so when it turns to man turning to himself for the answers, for guidance, and for direction, would you not think that most likely there will be disorder? That there will be chaos? Man against man, because everyone then would be doing what is right in their own eyes. Man will become a law unto themselves, and that will become the establishment within the groundwork of a person establishing his own moral order within himself as he becomes that, so to speak, his own God. Today, man fumbles with his map, or he may be looking at his GPS, if you will. Or he may, as it would be, stop at a Shell gas station and ask for direction or for guidance and so on. Somebody said that's why Moses wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, because he refused to stop and ask for direction. Sounds like any of you guys? I used to be like that. Last point is the overpasses that Merrill and I experienced in Dallas was unbelievable. I mean, I saw a picture of him here not just too long ago when they showed the tragedy that occurred out there. But you see highways underneath, going around. I mean, they went every which way, and they were loaded with vehicles. Cars and more cars and trucks, etc. Traffic moving in every different direction, but moving fast. You know, like if you go to Detroit, you'll find that you can go the speed limit, but the closer you get to Detroit, if you want to stay alive, you better keep up with the traffic, so to speak. Have you been there? Okay. But there is that element of way and finding a way that is safe for you and I to travel. You do have a destination why we were going there. We were going there to Abilene Christian College because our son was graduating there. But I never experienced such a maze, such an unbelievable aspect of travel, trying to reach my destination. In fact, I was nervous, maybe a little scared. But I did keep my eye on the road, because you had to. So man, obviously, as there and then, I really believe, man, in and of himself, needs some direction. He needs guidance. And he needs someone to help him to decide in what steps and what direction to go. That is needed. And if that doesn't occur from an ultimate source of authority, then we're going to have chaos. We're going to have disorder. We're going to have what we see going on in our world today. We really are. It is horrible to see what Satan is doing in our world today. Satan is the murderer. He is a murderer and was from the very beginning. And anyone who murders, according to 1 John chapter 1, even if he hates his brother, he is already a murderer, is of the devil. That's what it says. And you know, he said, no murderer will have their place in heaven. None. No. Spiritually, we would all be like that situation that I experienced out there in Dallas if God had not established some moral order and set a direction and established a roadmap, gave us a guideline, gave us some counsel in every aspect of it. I don't know what your favorite passage is, but I have many that I live my life by. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your steps. A lot of people, even some of you sitting here, need to take that principle and apply it to your lives and make use of it. Because some people don't understand how far out of the way their lives are and wandering and trying to find direction and what path to walk, what to do, what to say, how to go, and whatever in the aspect of our unbelievable, confused world. The directions that God gave us is clear. They're absolute. They're unchanging. And they apply to every facet of our individual lives. And the aspects of that. You cannot, and they must become appealing to you. You know, Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. He said that. Do we really believe he meant that? The aspects of that. You can travel many different highways today. And there are many ways that seems right unto a man, according to Proverbs 14 and 12. There are many ways that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction, death, corruption, etc., etc. You see, God has never left us without a roadmap. He's always given us a roadmap. And he said to you and me that if we walk and follow that roadmap, we will find life. We will find it abundantly. We will find complete fulfillment, satisfaction, and context within our individual. He didn't say you might not have detours or problems or difficulties or, if you will, having holes in the road, which we all have experienced that today. All right. He didn't say that. But he does say that at the end of the road, you know where you're heading, you know where you're going, and that is eternal. That is very eternal. Nature, I believe, establishes clear roadmaps within the context of itself. You see those laws established all around you, and you experience them every day. You do. God's eternal wisdom and power is clearly seen through the things that he has made. All around you and me, through nature, through creation, you are seeing God's power, his wisdom, and it's there and it's discernible. You can see it, or you can be blind to it. Point of it is, it's there. Nature lives within those laws, in every aspect of them. So does the aspect of your conscience. Your conscience, however, is taught, is trained. You can see it. You can get to a point you don't have a conscience anymore. Nothing bothers you. The aspects, and that's what leads a person to what we see happening over in France. That person could not have a conscience to do what he did, and those who supported him. And what is really unbelievable is how those who were behind him laughed and rejoiced in what took place. Let me remind you, God's moral order says, love does not rejoice in wrongs that are suffered. Have you read the 13th chapter lately? We're going to see it. It's there. The early roadmap was provided, if you will, to the patriarchs. Adam, Abraham, they all knew and were given direct orders, and God spoke to them directly. God told them exactly what they were to do, what the laws were, how to sacrifice, and every aspect of it, God spoke literally and directly to the patriarchs. And it was their responsibility to take what God taught them and told them and teach it to their children. They were to teach it while they walked beside the way, while they rose up, while they laid down. They were continually to be teaching the moral principles that God gave to them. That's important to understand that, because God hasn't changed. The Bible says, raise up a child in the way it should go. And when it is old, it will not depart from it. The aspects is as you look at God's direction to the patriarch, he hasn't changed it. It's mom and dad's responsibility to train up their child, to teach them. Not the church, not the Sunday school, not your secular school system. The responsibility of raising a child is in the hands of mom and dad. I'm a patriarch. I have 5 children. 12 grandchildren. I have my own patriarchal system. And as a father and as a man and as a grandfather, I have a responsibility to my children and to my grandchildren. To do what? Not only to live and demonstrate Christ in my life, but to constantly be sharing and teaching the principles. I had a daughter at my house yesterday, just for a few moments. It doesn't take very long to tell her very clearly that God's word is absolute, and if you don't follow it, you're going to have chaos and disorder in your life. Period. You will. about Moses and the prophets? They received similar revelation. It was recorded in the book of God that Deuteronomy means second law. The whole book of Deuteronomy is not only and but a rehearsal, an overview of all the laws that God had given to those before Moses wrote the books called the Pentateuchs. The prophets were continually instructing the people of God. They were talking to them over and over and warning them that if they departed from God's way, judgment was sure. They would fall into the hands of other nations and people in chaos. And all that started from the same point of view. They rejected God, turned against God, refused to acknowledge Him and follow His instruction. I mean, that has happened. It's there. It's all before you. It isn't just here. If you don't believe the Bible, just read and study history. History records the Babylonian Empire. It records the Persians, the Medes, the Alexandrians, the Greeks, and the Romans, and all the other stuff, and God's judgment upon Egypt. Everything that God's Word said about those nations happened and occurred, and today Babylon is nothing but a house of ravens. It is a desert, just like God prophesied it would be 500 years before it happened. Tyre, along the Mediterranean Sea, would become a place of nets and fishermen and whatever. And when Alexander the Great was conquering the world and these people had fled from Tyre out onto this island, he tore the city of Tyre down, threw the rocks and stones into the city, made a bridge to the island. Just like God prophesied that it would happen. Just like He said, it was going to happen. It happened. And God's Word says, if you walk this way, if you go this direction, I guarantee you, this is what's going to happen. You see, God isn't mocked. If you sow to the flesh, if you go against His rules and principles, you're going to reap the consequences. It's going to happen. Just as sure as the sun comes up this morning, we'll set at night. In other words, the aspect is there, and it's very true. And finally, you had the Son of God, who wasn't just the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. Jesus said, if you saw me, you have seen me, you have seen God. He was the full representation of God. He was the full expression of God. He was the absolute, exact likeness of God Himself. And Jesus' life and teaching that He gave to you and me constitute the complete revelation of God. That which was given through the prophets, through the patriarchs, through the prophets, all the way down through that, Jesus came to make it complete, to fulfill the picture. He's the one that came, and remember, and He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, etc. Jesus declared Himself to be that. You know what I say? As Isaiah said, I say to you, man, I rejoice because God has spoken. I rejoice that God did not leave me in darkness. I rejoice that God sent the light into the world to show me the way. I am so grateful that He loved me enough that He gave me an opportunity to be able to see the light, walk in the light, and know that there is a way that is there, and that way is endearment. And I know that if I walk in His way, I know what the destination is. You know how many people today don't have any idea of where they're going? And they have no idea what the end of the road is going to lead them to. They have no idea of the consequences of their behavior. But I don't know if you're standing here with me today, but do you believe this is true? You believe this is true? You believe this is the Word of God? You believe that this doesn't contain the Word of God? It is the Word of God. That it is authority? Okay, that everything God said is consistently true. It can be relied upon. That God cannot and will not lie to us. That what He said to us is truth in every aspect of it. You think Adam was aware of what he did when he took of the apple or the fruit of the tree and he ate of it? You think he knew what he was doing? You know that he knew that God told him, "Don't eat of it, and if you do, you will die." You think he understood that? You bet he did. Did he eat anyway? Huh? You think that he led day after day sorry that he didn't listen to God and what God had commanded him? You think he wished the God he had of? How many people's lives today in the same boat? They're paying the consequences because they didn't listen to what this book taught and what it says and what its principles is. God warned Adam, and he warns us because he loves us. How many of you as a parent warned your children? Huh? How many of you warned them? Why did you do that? Because you loved them, right? And if God loves us, as we know he does, doesn't it seem logical he would have warned us? And yes, he did. Of all men, Adam should have knew and should have learned. How about Noah and his family? When God told them that the flood was coming, did they believe God? Did they go ahead and build the ark and work diligently day and night? What if they hadn't? What if they hadn't done what God had commanded them to do? Is God's counsel true? Is his word true? Is his word infallible? Is it accurate? When Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them in truth, and thy word is truth. John 17:17. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:3, I've been preaching on sanctification. That is the point of issue this morning. Because this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to do what? Possess your own body, your own vessel, in sanctification and honor. For God has called us for the purpose not of impurity, but for sanctification. Sanctification means having and to be set apart. Set apart for a divine purpose. And it is to give and to live our lives as morally in a way that it gives glory to God, who is holy. Be holy, as in he is holy. It also, in the aspects of it, is a divine act of God. God sanctifies us. The Holy Spirit is given to us to make that happen, as I have already preached. The question is, do you see disorder in our world today? You see it? You see disorder in your families? You see people at war against one another? What's going to bring order back? What's going to resolve all the disorder that is in the world today? And how much of this disorder is simply a refusal to acknowledge God and give him the glory? To refuse to acknowledge him and to recognize that there is an absolute authority and that we're subject to that authority. And if we don't honor that authority in his word, we're going to suffer the consequences. Okay? You know, when you and I look at the intellectual world of our day today, it's amazing. It is amazing, the inconsistency in the intellectual world today. I mean, for think that they intellectually have been able to study astronomy. They know there is natural laws out there in the universe. They know they're the same up there as they are down here. They can shoot a rocket, a missile, and they can send a man to the moon. They'll know the day, the hour he's going to reach it. They also can establish by the laws that are universal that he will arrive back here on the earth at a certain time, certain place, at a certain day. They know that. They can figure it out. Why? Because there's natural order in the universe that is there. There are laws that govern it. But they also know that if you go against the laws of that universe out there, they're going to suffer the consequences. They will burn up coming. They got a certain speed. Everything is there. They understand that. They know there's precision there. They come to know it intellectually. They know that. Well, how about the laboratory of technicians today that understand the chemical makeup of our bodies? Isn't it amazing what they know about us today and how chemically our body functions within a law and order? That your body needs certain chemicals. It needs it to function properly. And if you don't receive or feed or eat the right proper foods, that it is going to affect you physically, mentally, fatigue-wise, and every other way. They know that, and they're continually reaching horizons and understanding how we can overcome cancer. We've beat polio. We've done so many different things. Why? Because they know there are natural chemical laws. And as long as we live in those laws, practice and become unified in that law, it's for the benefit of us and we are blessed. They know that. They know it. How about civil engineers? How about them knowing and understanding the knowledge of the order of physics, where they can build towers and like they do in New York City? And I mean, imagine that. And they can take bridges and build them to extend the Mackinac, the Great Lakes, or go out wherever and all that. How can they do that? Why can man know that they can build those huge, unbelievable, huge buildings? Those buildings and those bridges, because they understand there is natural physical laws that exist. And as long as they maintain in harmony with those laws, they can do it. They can do it. Yeah. In other words, doesn't matter where you look in the natural world that God created, there are natural laws that are universal. And if you live within harmony with them, you can do great things. But if you go outside of those natural laws and break them, you'll suffer the consequences. Isn't that amazing? Then why does man think that they can go against the moral laws of God and the order that he established in this book, all through the Old Covenant, demonstrated in the life of his own son, that if they go against it, that they're not going to create chaos and confusion and destruction in the lives of human beings all over the world today? But that moral order brings moral order. And there is no doubt about it. You ignore that moral order that God established, and you'll see what's going on today. You'll see it get worse. I guarantee you, people, it's not going to get better. As long as man ignores God's moral law of order and what establishes that order, it will get worse, not better. Well, Bill, what is that moral order? Order. Put it on the screen, Chris. Owe nothing to anyone but to what? That which establishes moral order between human beings is love. That is it. That's not too difficult to understand. That's a simple pill that you and I need to receive from God through the Holy Spirit and let that element take root into our heart and make us loving beings where we love one another. Love what? We have a debt, and that debt is to pay back to God what he paid for us. He said, I love you. I love you so much. I let my son die for you. I demonstrated my love. Now, love your neighbor as I loved you. So we owe. We're in debt to love. Follow the law. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not what? Did that guy driving that truck really love those people? No, he hated them. How many innocent little children died? I mean, think about it. Only love will stop our behavior where it is going to harm and destroy the lives of other people. Only God's love is God's moral order. And if it isn't in your heart, it won't be in your marriage. It won't be in your children. It won't be anywhere in the world. You have got to come to know the love of God, where you know that you're indebted to that love. And that love needs to be demonstrated and seen, because it will stop adultery. It will stop murder. It will stop stealing. It will stop coveting. And if there is any other commandment, he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does what? Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of all the laws of God. Love is. Love God with your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor. Well, there's nobody more neighbor than me than Marilyn. I owe her. I have a debt to pay to her. That debt was what God did for me. That God loved me in such a way that God's word says in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What does your Bible say? Huh? If God loved you, if Christ loved you because how good you are and how wonderful a man you are and how wonderful a husband, you never made any mistake and you're just perfect, that'd be one thing, right? No. When you were still sinner, when you had your own issues and our problem, God commended his love toward you and that Jesus died for you. You'd love your wife like that, sacrificially. There will be no order until we put God's love back into our marriages, back into our culture, back into our society. We'll continue to see chaos and disorder. We'll continue to see all kinds of unfaithfulness in our marriages, and we'll continue to see murder and all kinds of things and greed and politics. The political world is filled with greed today. Men stealing out of your pocket and having no conscience against it. Justifying themselves. And their office is what is determining their behavior. They don't want to lose their jobs. They don't. So what happens when that happens? Your taxes go up. Right? Huh? Somebody got to pay what they're doing. Huh? Somebody got to take care of all of that stuff. Right? What does it say? Covetousness. Love stops that element that eats like cancer into a country, into a people, and into their lives. And gets their hands out of your pocket. What does? Love. Love. You understand what I'm saying today? You understand what I'm trying to help us to understand? That God has established the moral order that will determine whether or not we live in harmony with one another. And that moral order is that we love God with our whole being. And we love people. We love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I believe today that children honestly desire rules. Consistent rules, reliable guidelines that will direct their lives. I honestly believe that. But I also believe that many parents today are about as inconsistent in how they're raising their children as the man in the moon. In other words, God's the same yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow. Right? And if it's no today, it will be no today, it'll be no tomorrow. If it's yesterday, it'll be yes tomorrow. Consistency is what establishes, if you please, security. In other words, they know in the realms of their freedom is because you've set the freedom. Freedom isn't having the ability to do whatever you please. Freedom is to know where the fence is and to live within that fence. And you're free to live any time, any way you want to. And God set the fence. God drew a fence, and that established the fence. I believe that young people today are looking for a value system that comes from outside of their heads. But that value system, as they're looking for it and as yearning for it, is coming and must come from honest, loving, kind aspects of authority. And I believe they desire it. They want it. It's an absolute. They know it is. But when you and I don't set that element within their lives, I know. You think Proverbs is way out of date. But Proverbs says if you spare the rod, you hate your child. It also says if you take and apply the rod, it will be your child will understand that you really care and you love him. How else are they going to know? You know how many young people I've counseled that say had parents that just let them do whatever they please, and their response was, if they really cared about me, they would have done something, but they didn't. I'm serious. So morality today could be illustrated by a horrible accident that occurred out in Colorado last winter. Maybe you read about it. But these six young people were returning from prom. And as they were traveling down the back highway heading home to take one of them home, they misjudged the speed of a curve, went off into the ditch of snow and landed there. And the guy on the phone called their parents, got a record, every aspect of it. But they were not knowledgeable to know to get out of the car. The tailpipe had been plugged with snow. The carbon monoxide began to back up into the car. And when the wrecker got there, they were all dead. That's where man is today. Man today in his foolishness doesn't understand that if we don't change our moral order and how we're treating one another and what we're doing, we're all going to die from that deadly, poisonous gas that you can't smell, you can't see. It is there. And brother, if we don't follow the moral order of God and love Him and love one another, we're going to destroy one another. We're going to devour one another. We're going to ruin one another's life. I'm going to make sure that that little woman of mine's going to get to heaven, and God's going to say, well done, Marilyn, and I'm going to have a part in making sure she gets there. You understand what I just said, men? Wives, we're in this together, aren't we? Huh? We all to be working together and loving one another. Why? Because someday I want to meet Him who is the author of all true love. That's my goal. So God's moral order is established. It's there. It's then. It's been created. And God today created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't do it, God. I've quenched Him long enough. I've grieved Him long enough. If anything, God, fill me with Your Spirit of love. And help me to learn to walk in that love. Then I'll be free. And then I can help other people to find that same freedom. May our lives encourage people. When they open the door to your life and you walk in. Are you listening? Huh? That they're going to breathe a fresh air they haven't breathed in a long time. Because when you walk into their lives, you are love to them. You hear me? You hear me? Huh? And when people walk in that door into our fellowship, what should they experience? But nothing more but a fresh air they haven't breathed out there in the world. They ought to walk into a people who they're going to see, wow, look at how those people love one another. Amen? Huh? Isn't that what it's all about? It is. But let's not just like confusing. It is simple. God's law is simple. The principles are simple. The moral order is simple. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm done. You said amen? That's because you agree, right? Let's stand. We'll sing our closing hymn.